I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome back to Making Bank. And I have an awesome guest on my show today. I've had the fortune and honor to be able to connect with him, I think, over the last 6 months. Almost every month, it seems like. We're connecting somewhere out. And just hearing his message and being around him, I just knew I had to bring him on Making Bank to share with all of you what he has to offer to the world. And so I really want to welcome Dr. Sean Stevenson. He was predicted not to survive at birth because of a rare bone disorder. Today has inspired millions throughout his keynote speeches, live events, and media appearances. His book, Get Off Your Butt, is available in 10 different languages. Dr. Sean Stevenson is also a board-certified therapist. Sean, welcome to Making Bank.
Thank you for having me, bud.
Sure, man. And it's, like I said, it's an honor to have you on today and share your story. And tell me a little bit about, at birth, the rare bone disorder, kind of what those struggles were, and just, let us know who you are, man.
Sure. So certainly came into the world with a unique container called osteogenesis imperfecta is the name of the disorder. And that's just a fancy Latin term for bone gene imperfection. My bones did not form properly, and therefore were stunted in growth. That's why I'm only about 3 feet tall and extremely fragile. That's why, by the time I was 18, I'd fractured over 200 times.
Wow.
And, growing up with that, made life different. I was stared at, laughed at, teased. And I learned pretty early on that if I didn't develop a phenomenal personality, I was going to get left behind. And by phenomenal, I don't mean like tooting my own horn. I mean like a personality that was like no other. It didn't get overlooked.
Sure.
The Steve Martin, be so good they can't, they can't avoid you, right?
Right.
And that was my mentality, is I'm not going to get to develop into this world if I don't show people very clearly how I can help them. And so I think I was an entrepreneur in training from a very early age, because I also realized that I could look at my container, my body, my condition, in one of two ways. I could look at it from this sucks, this isn't fair, why me? Or I could say, wait, this is a competitive advantage in business. when I roll into a conference, I don't even need to meet people for them to remember me if they saw me.
Sure.
And so in marketing, you want to be that purple cow. You want to be that sticky note in somebody's mind that doesn't go away. And that's what my container is. It allows me to be remembered. And then when I can couple that with a message or product or service that they can't forget about and that they enjoy using, that is a huge leg up in business. So, growing up with this condition, I didn't know that I would do all the things that I'm doing now in terms of the reach that I've had, but I knew that I had a purpose to why I was going through the pain, and I knew I had a purpose to why I was going through the dark days. My childhood was filled with love from my family, but pain from my body. And I spent most of my childhood in excruciating pain. I have more days in my past where I was fractured than when I wasn't. And so you can imagine with that level of pain, you're left with your thoughts a lot.
Sure.
And, you know, pain is it's a teacher. You know, I think most people look at pain as like a punisher, and I don't think it is. I've had a lot of it. It's a teacher. It teaches you who you are. It teaches you how to get present. It teaches you what's important. It teaches you to pay attention to not repeating it. And those are the lessons that were gathered over the years of all the fractures and the limitations.
What I know you said it kind of, you know, has helped prepare you for your entrepreneurship and everything that you're doing now. What was kind of that turning point for you along your journey that just it just clicked, or was it a series of events that you just felt like, man, this is the path I'm supposed to be on. This is where I'm supposed to head. This is what I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to be leading.
In business specifically?
Well, I guess personal and then business.
Yeah. Well, personally, I was challenged by my mom in fourth grade. You know, my mom saw me in a very vulnerable state after breaking my leg and not being able to go in to Halloween. You know, when the kids are going around the school with their costumes and sure. the parties and all that. And, you know, you have kids, you get that that Halloween is a fun time for a child. And I just broke my leg the morning of Halloween. I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere. And she could see the devastation in my eyes. And she asked me a pivotal question. She said, is this going to be a gift or a burden in your life? And, wow. you know, that's a pretty profound question that changed the course of my life. And I realized that, yes, this sucks. I wish I didn't have to go through this, but I still love my life. And maybe the purpose to my pain is to help other people love their life amidst their pain. And then, so that was kind of like the turning point personally, to not go into that, the hellhole of pity.
Right.
But professionally, there's no sexy way to say this other than the truth, which is I became an entrepreneur because I needed money and I wasn't getting hired in regular companies. I applied to three different positions. I applied to, you know, this was when I was younger. You know, most kids have paper routes. They have, you know, all the different physical, manual, you know, mowing lawns, things of that nature. I couldn't do any of those things. And so I applied to be a receptionist at a chiropractor's office. I applied to be a salesperson at an electronics store. And I applied to be a dispatcher at a limo company. And I got turned down for all three of those positions for blatant discrimination reasons. I'm not somebody that likes to spark up controversy if there's not controversy there. I
sure.
find drama to be pretty obnoxious. However, they came right out and said, well, what if you can't run errands for us? Or what if we need you to go out and get coffee for us? Or what if you can't reach the top shelf? And that might sound like a legitimate set of reasons, but it's illegal to hire not hiring somebody that could handle the objectives of the
right.
position because of their disability. And so I was faced with, do I want to sue a company that won't hire me? I mean, that would make a really awkward first day of a job. A, yeah. I'm in a class action lawsuit with you right now. And the only reason why I'm here is because I forced your hand. It didn't work.
Right.
It didn't feel right, I should say. And I became an entrepreneur because the opportunity was there to get paid to speak for 1 hour for $75. And I was like, that's a lot of video games when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And so I took the gig. I had a blast. I still remember it. I mean, it's over 22 years ago, and I still remember my first speech, kind of getting the bug, you know, like I got bit. And I was like, wait, I get paid to do something that the rest of the day I do for free, talk. And when you get paid to talk, your mind changes of like, wow, I have something people want to learn from.
Right.
And I have perspective and I have insight and I have ideas that could help people. And so I got paid to speak to schools as my starter. And then that branched out to some of the parents would see me and they say, oh, you should come speak to our hospital. And so I started speaking to hospitals. And then somebody said, you know, we run a GED course in the prison system where you speak to the prisons. So I started speaking to prisons and it just kept growing. And until by the time I was in college, I was a full-time speaker who was trying to complete his degree. So I would leave back in the microcassette days. I'd leave my little microcassette recorder on my desk and have a classmate pick it up because I wouldn't be there. I would be on the road speaking. And wow. I was making, you know, $1,500 at the time a speech. And when you're in college, you're making $1,500 for 1 hour of your time. You feel like you want to make it.
That works good.
Yeah. You feel like you're making bank back then, right?
That's right.
So it just kind of grew. And it came through a necessity to survive.
Right.
To be able to afford things. To be able to have a place in the world. And Josh, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not proud of, but it is what it is. And that is, I think for a long time, I've been angry at those three companies for not letting me be ordinary. Like, I wanted so desperately to have an ordinary job that made minimum wage, and I would get treated just like garbage, like everybody else that takes that route of doing something that anybody else could mindlessly do. And, you know, God love whoever gets those jobs because they're not jobs that are based on passion.
Right.
You know, you're looking for somebody else's passion. That chiropractor, that's his passion.
Sure.
That limo company owner, that was his passion. You know, the electronics store company, that was the board of directors and shareholders' passion. You know, none of those would have been my passion. And it's funny that I've been angry. And I just recently let it go that I was born into a condition and a life that I've not been given the opportunity to be ordinary. That the universe, God, call it whatever you want, continues to nudge me to do something extraordinary. And anytime I play small, it doesn't work. I have to play big or it doesn't work. And that's my life. And
yeah.
I'm very grateful for that.
No, that's awesome. Can you stick around for a minute? We got to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Now you can get your healthy superfoods in one drink with no shopping, no blending, no juicing.
I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. And we're here today with Dr. Sean Stevenson, who has been telling us a little bit about his background, his challenges, and what he's had to overcome that has transformed and shaped his life today, just as a person as well as an entrepreneur. Sean, welcome back to Making Bank.
Thanks, buddy.
So you recently let go. You were mentioning kind of that anger that has built up, and you know, what have you seen from that? How does that helped you in your life now?
Well, I think it gives me clarity to know that those three companies that wouldn't hire me were actually my angels. They were those angels in disguise that whenever you get rejected, it's actually there's an opportunity there that that when you look for it, you find it.
Sure.
You know, the opportunity by being rejected from those companies was I built a very successful speaking career. I guarantee you, had I been hired by one of those companies, you know, back all those years ago, I would have played into the role of complaining about my job. I would have probably played small, and I would not have reached hundreds of millions of people in my career. And that came from rejection. Like, when you get rejected, it's because there's something else for you. There's something bigger. There's something greater. And in the moment of rejection, you say, you know, screw you. I don't want to hear that shit. Like, I'm not here to have a kumbaya moment. I'm hurting. I'm angry. I'm feeling tossed aside. But that's because right. you're looking at it only from that perspective of self-pity.
Totally. What do you kind of have a process that you go through or a little framework that allows you to, because, you know, when we're in that state, we're in that mindset, like, oh, man, you know, you're feeling bad. For what do you use to make that transformation or that transition out of that?
Well, you only can control two things, Josh. You can control your interpretations of what you think are happening, you know, what you make something mean, and then your response, you know, what you do about what you think it means. And you can't control the outside world. You can't control the weather. You can't control, you know, how people treat you. You can't control those outside factors. You can control, like, what am I going to make this mean? You know, and I've been a therapist now for 16 years. And when I deal with those very sensitive cases where somebody's child dies and they're like, gosh, how do I recover from that?
Yeah.
And my question to them is so very critical. I say, right now you are in pain, you are grieving, you are in loss, and nothing's going to make that happy, happy, joy, joy. You lost your child. However, you need to be very careful what you make this experience mean. Do you make it mean that the world's unfair, that God hates you, and that you're cursed? Or do you make it mean that you have to be even more attentive to your other children now and your spouse and appreciate your own life and live out the legacy for your child that passed and be the example to others who lose children and see the richness to life and how you only get the time that you're given and to live it to its max. And that is going to give you a different outcome.
For sure.
And so when anything tragic happens, what you make it mean, or even positive. So like when people get full of themselves, it's because they take something good that happens and they go, this means that I am the world's best and that I'm better than other human beings. I'm superior to others and that I will never make any mistakes in my life. And man, I can't think of a more dangerous way to set yourself up for a huge disappointment down the road.
Definitely. And I mean, those are some definite critical pieces just for mindset. And I mean, as entrepreneurs, whether it's our personal or business life, I mean, we're always running into challenges. There's always failures. And that how we look at it and how we create or interpret that meaning will determine where, I mean, if we're going to be more successful down the road, if we're going to, you know, continue on with this business or another business or whatever it might be, you know, within our lives. So I think those are definitely two big pieces to take a look at for sure. So tell me a little bit about, I know we've talked a lot over the last few 6 months, whenever we've seen each other. What I know you're really focused to help rid the world of insecurity, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you're doing there, and you know how that can really connect with our audience and everything.
So, to do that, let's first define what insecurity is.
Sure.
Insecurity is a feeling. It's not a person. It's a feeling that you're not enough, that you're not smart enough, wealthy enough, talented enough, tall enough, skilled enough, whenever you feel like you're not enough and you are owning that, like, I'm not enough, you are going through a space of insecurity. And Josh, I believe everybody has insecurities. I think insecurity are like cancer cells. We all have cancer cells inside of our bodies. Some get activated and some don't.
Right.
And so we all have insecurities inside of us. Some of us activate them and live a very insecure life, and some of us don't. And some of us might only activate them temporarily and then get conscious and say, wait a minute, this is not what I'm committed to. So what I'm doing on this planet is, it's an education thing. You know, I've been teaching for 22 years, and I go on to podcasts and I go on to videos and I create messages that are bite-sized that people can spread virally on the internet. And any way I can get my message out there of what it takes to turn around those moments of insecurity and that you're not alone. I think that's the biggest thing, is that we look at, you know, somebody watching this program, they could see you and be like, God, look at Josh. Look how many people he's interviewing. Look how long he's been in business. He probably never has a bad day. He probably doesn't ever feel insecure with these guests. He probably doesn't ever feel insecure in his own business. He probably never feels insecure raising his children, because you put your best foot forward on these programs.
Right.
And so therefore they assume that's who you are. And they take your highlight reel and they compare it to their behind the scenes. And when you do that, you're going to be miserable. You're never going to be able to compete with somebody's highlight reel if you're comparing it to your behind the scenes. Josh, I guarantee it, you have days where you doubt your abilities.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It just happens. It happens to the best of us. And if we can all just come to the awareness that it does happen to all of us, I think that there's safety in numbers, right? It's like, oh, I'm not a loser. I'm not this rare, reject in the human race.
Yeah.
And when you stop feeling defective or deformed, and instead you feel like you're just like everybody else, and you're going through this experience of life, learning as you go, making mistakes, that really makes an impact. And so, getting products out there, doing live events, speaking, and again, doing this education piece through programs like yours, where I'm letting people know you're not alone. If you are going through those moments where you wonder, do I have what it takes? Especially when you become successful, when you start earning money, when you start having people look up to you, when you start having people see you as a leader, then you feel like you really got to bury your insecurities, because, oh my God, what if the shareholders know that I'm not flawless? What if my employees know that I get, into ruts of self-pity? Like, the pressure can build.
And that's so true. I mean, even like some of the best entrepreneurs out there, we consider the best, Steve Jobs and Elon Musk. I mean, all these different, they all go through that. And, I think, as an entrepreneur, it's, how we accept it, how we look at it, and how quickly we recover from that. I know, at least for me, is, if I have a day and I'm in that situation, the faster that I can get out of it, that I can then start to change it and move that day into a better position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us, as you were saying, we get stuck in that though. And it's how do we get out of it? How do we make that change?
So can I give you the cure to insecurity?
Sure.
Two very simple words: self-care. That when you are doing self-care work, I have a self-care list on my wall here. It's called the When Life Works list. Things like hydrating, exercise, meditation, journaling, consistent sleep, proper hydrating, hygiene, sorry, staying organized and clean, having at least one meal a day that's all vegetables, reviewing materials about business, marketing, following up with my mentors, connecting with my wife, reviewing my goals, planning my day on paper, hanging out with my niece or nephew, creating new content. I mean, when I do at least four of those things in a day, just four of those 16 items, the day runs smoothly.
Yeah.
Because I took care of me. I put the oxygen mask on myself first. Insecurity breeds in a body and a life that's not been cared for. If you think about when you've been most insecure, you probably weren't getting enough sleep, so you were, your brain chemistry was off.
Right.
You probably eating like garbage because you were traveling. You were probably maybe not spending enough time with your spouse or children, letting them know how much you love them because you were focused on, oh man, I need to do more to give them what they need, and I need to have more money so that they can do what they aspire to do. Well, but kids and spouses, they disconnect from us when we forget that loving them and making them feel heard and spending time with them is the most important. They feel disconnected the moment we place something above them.
Sure.
I see this a lot with men, especially entrepreneurial dads. They'll bust their ass because they think, I need to make a ton of money so my kids can go to the right school, so that my spouse can have the right shoes, so when she goes to the party, she looks good, she feels good. I need to make sure that we have the right kind of money so that we can pay for this nice home and this nice neighborhood. And they're all about making sure they have all the external factors. Meanwhile, their kid comes into the office and gets turned down for dad time. Meanwhile, the spouse gets put on the back burner to another client, another meeting. And the years go by, and these people who you're trying to do all that for have slipped away from you. And they either end up in a divorce with you, or they stop talking to you, or they're like, you know what, that's just dad. He's just cold-hearted. He only cares about his money. And meanwhile, you started it all because you thought you were taking care of them.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying. I know that's one of the things I've tried to do is really make that a priority, you know, every day and stuff. And I think, you know, that's, as you said, that it's that time piece and that connection piece that's, you know, most important.
And remembering your priorities, your kid, no matter what age they are, would rather go on a walk with you. And that's why I love your Snapchat, is you show out what you do with your kids. They would rather go on a walk with you and tell you about what happened at school, even though they might not offer it up at first. tell you about what happened at school than for you to buy them something. You know, they might temporarily be excited about the new video game system you got them or whatever, but in the end, when they look back on their life, if they didn't get to know dad or mom, they didn't get to know who you were, there's this feeling of like, wow, all they cared about was business. They didn't care about me.
Yeah. No, it's, and you know, I think as we have a lot of entrepreneurial viewers and everything else, I mean, I know it's probably hitting home with a lot of people out there. And, you know, I think that's, you know, if you have kids or a spouse, and I mean, that's where you need to start. And as you're, I think you said, you know, your self-care list, a few months ago, I got that from you, did that as well. And so I think, you know, making sure you get through those four or five or, you know, those a day is important, because it helps from a mental standpoint as well as a mindset standpoint overall.
Yeah, so. I mean, it gets you right, you know. At the end of the day, your quality of life is based on brain chemistry. People don't realize that, but when your brain chemistry gets off, it throws off the rest of your life. And, you know, if I give you the best running shoes, Josh, I give you the best track to run on, I give you the best clothes that help you stay aerodynamic, I teach you how to be a great runner. And right when you go to run, I break your leg with a baseball bat and say, run as fast as you can. how far and how fast are you going to go? Yeah. That's great chemistry. You can have great personal growth coaches, great business, great this, great that. But if your brain chemistry is off, it's going to be impossible to get your max speed. And that's the thing. Your serotonin levels, your dopamine levels, your oxytocin, all these different brain chemicals that most people don't even know are there. When that balance gets off from lack of sleep, from not exercising, from not meditating or praying, from not taking care of you, then the world can feel like there's a filter of suck. Everything sucks. You come up with an idea and go, no, that sucks. Somebody comes to you with an idea, that sucks. And meanwhile, you just don't realize your brain chemistry is off.
Sure.
And it's like running with a broken leg. I don't care how good of materials you got to work with. If you got a broken leg, you're not going to go at full speed.
Right. No, that's a good analogy for sure.
And I got that from a book on brain chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuck with me because I was like, wow, you really could become as positive as you want, but if you're not doing your self-care rituals, you'll never be enough.
Right. Cause, I mean, you see all those people that are super positive out there and everything else, but then there's something still kind of, you know, tweaked off a little bit because of, you know, the brain chemistry or whatever is, you know, something else in their life is throwing it off overall. So, I mean, that's some amazing insight. And, you know, you guys are watching this. I hope you're definitely taking notes here with Sean, and he's giving you so much insight to be able to transform your life, to move your business forward as well as your personal relationship. So I appreciate that, Sean.
My pleasure, brother.
Cool. Well, we're starting to run out a little bit out of time. So tell me a little about where can people, you know, kind of connect with you at, what different things. I know you offer different events and everything to know more of Sean and get some of this other knowledge.
So I'll give you two areas. One is I start everybody at the same place. I have an ebook. It's a small investment. And if you liked learning from me and you want to learn more from me, you're going to love this. It's called How to Stay Positive When Life Gets Crazy. And anybody can be positive when things are going well. How do you handle it when they don't go well?
Right.
And so that you get that ebook, you get the audio version of me reading it, you get three webinars, and my ebook for kids, all from this one website, staypositive.club, like golf club. Staypositive.club is where I would filter everybody. And then if they want to follow me on social media, go to seanstevenson.live. That's seanstephenson.live. I live stream quite often on Facebook.
No, that's awesome. And I know you've had some unbelievable viral Facebook videos that reached over, 65 million people?
About 68 million now.
68 million.
Just from that one video.
That's amazing. And I know, and I mean, you went from a couple hundred thousand to close to 1 million followers?
In about a period of 3 months.
That's amazing. So, I mean, Sean's message is there, his training, his information, and he just gives, and there's so much content that's there to help you move yourself forward. So, Sean, I really appreciate your time today, and it was an honor to have you on Making Bank, and definitely love to have you back on down the road again soon.
All right, my friend. Thanks for having me.
I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.